Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to an understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight to delve into the Word of God and see what it is that the Spirit has to say to the church. Amen?
Amen.
These past few weeks, we've been talking about how we're the temple of the Holy Spirit and how God actually dwells in us, and I don't think that's hit us in the face yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we don't feel like he's there. We don't, you know, we don't have that feeling. And we're so used to basing things upon how we feel and not coming to know and understand this reality by submitting to the process of faith and grace, trusting in the cross so that grace can actually flow. Most people think when they get saved that the Holy Spirit just automatically works at our command and we cry, we beg, we plead, we holler, and we think that we can move God by our actions. But he's not there. It's not based upon our works. We're not here to work for God. We're here to be worked upon.
Amen.
See? So we need to let God have his way and realize that if the Holy Spirit dwells in me, when I come upon exhibiting faith in the cross and accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, he comes into me for a purpose. And we've said in the past, there's a two-part operation or work that the Holy Spirit does. When we're baptized into Christ, he comes into us for the purpose of changing us from the inside out. Then there's the baptism with the Holy Spirit, where Christ actually endues us with the power, dunks us in the power of the Spirit for service. And most people, because they've been baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues and they have the gifts manifesting, they assume that the work, the initial acceptance of Christ or the Spirit of God in their life, they assume that their character is being changed because they operate in a gift or a function.
Amen.
It's a two-part distinct work that takes place in our heart and lives, meaning that the Holy Spirit is responsible for changing us, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, cleansing us, and transforming our mind and our thinking, and we have to allow him to work. But at the same time, he's given us the endowment, his power to do ministry more effectively. We can't do ministry in our strength. We can't do it in our ability. We have to let the Holy Spirit work in us and by his power and it's called the gifts of the Spirit. They manifest by way of evidence and faith and trusting in the cross the same way that we trust for the work of sanctification. Amen. It makes sense. So everything, in other words, in John 14, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our counselor, and he comes to give to us those things that Christ has freely given unto us.
Amen.
So everything, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can't get those things unless you're in Christ, you see?
Yeah.
So I don't want to get into that, but I want to get into the fact that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we established the fact that the Holy Spirit, we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and God is working, should be working in us. So we're going to start with the scriptures, and then we'll take off from there, okay?
Amen.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I think I said verse 16.
Mm-hmm. Read.
Uh-huh.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Okay, so we're looking at this in verse 16. It says, know you not that you are the temple? Well, we read this before, but we're just going to take off from here, read this as our base scripture. It means that this is where the Holy Spirit abides, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. That makes the born-again believer his permanent home. So if any man defile this temple of God, it says our physical bodies must be a living sacrifice, which means that we stay holy by ever making the cross the object of our faith. So it's not something that you do to be holy or to be the temple. You just have to keep your faith in the right place. So the good fight that you and I are called to fight is to keep, fight to keep our faith in the cross. Everything is coming at us to move our faith away from Calvary. Now, last week I said we stopped at a certain scripture, and I told y'all to write it down. Was it in Luke 22, dealing with Peter?
No, y'all remember it wrote that? Act 1 and 6.
1 and 6, okay.
And I wrote that.
Okay, I will see in a second. So I want us to see, before we get any further, let me finish this scripture and then we'll take off. So I want us to see, he says, if any man defile the temple of God. Now understand, it says here in the Greek that know you not, it is no new thing I tell you, and calling you God's building. So you and I are God's building. We get it wrong. Remember I said how we as Christians have to be delivered from trying to understand God with our human finite minds.
Amen.
Our finite understanding. See, this is what the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, faith in the cross breaks our mind from thinking and depending upon what our feelings tell us, our opinions, our upbringings, our doctrines and false teachings have taught us. God, the Holy Spirit, has to break that. So my job, we read last week, if I want to be renewed and changed and transformed, I got to be renewed in my thinking. That's the only way that change can take place.
Amen.
If your mind ain't changed about something, you're not going to change about it.
That's right.
You're not going to change the direction of your walk, your talk, unless there's a miraculous change by way of the Holy Spirit. If it's not done by the power of the Spirit, I don't care how much willpower we have, it ain't going to get done.
Amen. Amen.
It's temporary. It's not lasting. And this is why we find in organized church, we find so many fads, and they're ever-changing throughout the years, see? And this is how Satan comes in and infiltrates the church, because the church is not crucified. So just like Adam and Eve, they were not dead to what they wanted. See, initially they were God conscious, but because the enemy enticed them to rely on their own desires, their own lust, when he did that, that was giving him access or an avenue to wreak havoc in their life and bring about the fall of mankind. Satan is forever looking for a loophole, looking for an avenue where he can bring about his will in the earth. And how does he do that? We read in the beginning scriptures of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1 how the state of the believers, because they did not take the engrafted word and grow, because they did not receive it with meekness, they would not allow the Holy Spirit to change their heart and their minds. They received Christ, but they wouldn't let the word of God penetrate the heart. They remained carnal, but they thought they were spiritual. Isn't that the state of many
mm-hmm.
in church today?
Amen.
We know that we can quote the scriptures. We can say words and have the charisma to preach and persuade millions.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still carnal.
Amen. Amen.
Carnality is just simply us doing things without a divine influence. Looking at things from a human perspective without divine influence. And we read in Luke 22 last week how Peter, Christ, the Lord told him that Satan wanted to sift him as wheat, but Christ prayed for his faith. See?
Mm-hmm.
So it shows us that it is our faith in the right object that gives the Holy Spirit the latitude to work in our lives. That's the only thing that allows him to move. He does not work automatically. He looks for faith in the right object.
Mm-hmm.
And so he cannot grow. Although people are saved, he can't grow them up until the direction of their faith is right. So what he does, he works in their life trying to get them to place their object of faith in the cross. He can't grow them up. He can't mature them up until they put their faith in the right object. So, perfect example, although he wasn't saved, is in Acts 10, Cornelius. He was a good man. He was a man that loved the Jews and loved the things of God. But although he was devoted to the Jews and to the apostles or what have you, Peter and them, he was not saved. What did the Holy Spirit do? in a vision, he showed him Peter and told him to go to Peter's house. And see, this is us being led by the Spirit of God. And Peter had a mindset that, no, Lord, I don't eat nothing or touch nothing that's unclean, speaking, and this was dealing with the Gentiles. Jews did not have much dealings with the Gentiles, right? Because, and so this mindset of Peter needed to be changed. And in a vision, God showed it to Peter, a sheep coming down from heaven with all sorts of animals, clean and unclean. And Peter like, I don't eat nothing unclean. No, I ain't eating. You see, we have this mindset, and we trying to live for God based upon our own thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was the Lord was trying to show to Peter, and it only came to his understanding when he saw Cornelius at his door, and he realized, God was saying, don't call unclean what I have cleansed.
Yes, amen.
See? So we have to be converted. He told Peter, Satan has asked to sift you, but I pray that your faith fail not. God used Satan for the purpose of sifting us to get us to be converted in our thinking. We think Satan is, the devil, I'm going to stomp on his head. But Satan is under the control. He can only do what God allows him as we submit to Christ. Y'all understand? As a believer.
Amen.
God used Satan as a puppet to work things for the good in the life of Job, in the life of Moses, in our lives every day. We just have to walk by faith, fight the good fight of faith, meaning no matter what goes on around you, our fight is to remain separated to do the will of God in the earth. But the problem with Israel was that the world, which it was supposed to influence, came in and influenced Israel to do wrong.
Amen.
The same thing happened to Adam and Eve. They were to be the righteous first family. What happened? They allow the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to drown out God's word and God consciousness.
Amen.
So their focus shifted from trusting in God and his plan and his way to trusting in what the enemy presented. Why? Because they misinterpret God's word. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He added to God's word. So the enemy know that if we don't know the word of God,
amen. That's
he
right.
Cannot deny the words, y'all see. Mm-hmm. He can't deny it, but he can corrupt it. He mm-hmm. can change it and make us think that it means one thing and when it means something else.
Amen.
So if we go a little bit above in the scriptures from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, you'll notice that Paul talks about laying the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11, can you read that for me, Sister Cherry?
Mm-hmm. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Okay. Now, understand, when he's saying that, when he preached the gospel to these Corinthians, they gave their lives to Christ based upon this foundational message, this form of doctrine, which was you have to place your faith in a Redeemer who died to redeem and bring you back to the Father, God the Father, through his death. See?
Mm-hmm.
So this was the foundation of the message. So he says, no other foundation can any man lay save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, verse 12, what happens? Keep going.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man work of what sort it is.
Okay. So when it talks about the type of work that's laid, that means after your salvation, where you go to church matters. What you hear matters.
Wow.
How you build on top of Jesus Christ and him crucified, if you're adding to it or taking away from it, and see, this is where many people fall into a trap, and this is why he says you're the temple. And if any man defile the temple, God will destroy, meaning that you and I are responsible for what type of work or what is laid on top of the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. You understand? And so the fire means that the Holy Spirit, what's produced out of your life based upon what's laid on top of your foundation. If you go into false doctrine and wrong teaching and get caught up into denominationalism and the doctrines of the church and all these things, it's considered wood, hay, and stubble. It won't stand the test of time, meaning that when the Holy Spirit goes through and tries to allow Satan to sift for testing, for the purpose of testing, your foundation won't stand. That work will not stand. See?
Amen.
You're building upon, trying to build upon the cross of Christ, and you're laying the wrong material, the wrong doctrines. And this has caused many people to become shipwrecked in the faith, because a lot of people have thought, because I've gotten saved, God's going to fix all my problems. They're going to go away. Because I've gotten saved, you promised, Lord, to heal that loved one, and he didn't. So what happens is God reveals what foundation you have built upon. What's the foundation you built upon?
Amen.
Y'all see, what have you laid upon? Because if you came right with the right foundation, God reveals through the fire what you've laid upon it. And he only wants to remove, that's why the fire will remove the wood, hay, or stubble, so that you can have pure Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
So sometimes it takes a trial, a sickness, or whatever, because you were brought up into something that was wrong. Say you were brought up in a church and you were sincere about living for God, but you were taught some things that weren't right.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Holy Spirit has to allow those things to be burned up through a circumstance. You may boo-hoo and cry, and I lost my friends and my church and da-da-da-da, but ultimately what God is trying to do is to have a pure foundation, Christ and the cross.
Amen.
And everything that was built upon it that wasn't right, it has to be removed, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So we, our part, this is why he says fight the good fight of faith. Trust God. Believe God, Peter. Satan's going to sift. God's going to use Satan to sift you.
Mm-hmm.
But I pray your faith fail not, because the sifting is to prove what's in your heart so that you can be converted in your thinking and walk the right way so you can strengthen the brethren.
Yes.
See, many people have not gone through this process, and they trying to be, because man has called them, or because they think they've been called themselves, but they try to bypass this process, but still they're going to be tested. What they laid upon this foundation will be proven by fire.
Amen.
And there have been many of Christian, many of preachers that have gone on because their souls may have been saved, but they suffered greatly here in the earth. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because they laid wrong. They laid wood, hay, or stubble upon the right foundation.
Amen.
So if you think about Israel, I think it was in Genesis 32, if I'm not mistaken, or Exodus 32, when they came out of Egypt and Moses went to the mountains for 40 days, he and Joshua, to get the commandments, Joshua heard a noise, and he was like, what is that? And the people had quickly, because their leader, Moses, had gone on, Aaron was persuaded by the people to build another altar.
Mm-hmm.
So they had they had a golden calf, but guess what they did? They brought the right sacrifice. But they built another altar. What am I saying? You can't have the two. You can't have the right sacrifice and the wrong altar, and neither can you have the wrong the wrong sacrifice and the right altar.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? So you're trying to build upon, if you got the right altar or the right foundation and you try to add the wrong sacrifice, you're building wood, hay, or stubble. And ultimately, your foundation will be destroyed. That makes sense?
Amen.
Any questions? Because I want to make sure I don't confuse anybody.
Could you say that again? Like, can I have the wrong altar and the right sacrifice?
Right. When, go ahead.
No, I was just, go ahead and explain for me. Just
okay.
Explain.
Like when they built that golden calf, calf, they built the calf, but they brought what God required as far as this right sacrifice. They brought the lamb without a spot. They brought the bullocks. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they brought it to the wrong altar.
Okay.
So the same thing with Cain and Abel. Abel brought the right sacrifice to the right altar.
Mm-hmm.
Cain brought the wrong sacrifice to the right altar.
Okay,
gotcha. See? And so because he brought the wrong sacrifice, it was brought to the right altar, but it was the wrong sacrifice. He was like, no.
Right.
You got to come correct. You got to have the right altar and the right sacrifice. You got to build on Christ and the cross. You can't build wood, hay, or stubble, but you got to build those things which will stand the test of time, gold, silver, precious stones. And then he used that for a reason. And it says the first three are materials which will stand the test of fire, symbolic of the word of God, which is the standard.
Amen.
There's a teaching, and y'all don't stone me, but some people believe, and this is what traps us and gets us caught up as believers in church, religious organizations, even in any organization that calls itself religious, Islam, Catholicism, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a teaching that if you don't submit to the church or to the, I'm going to say the Holy Father or to the pastors and the leaders, despite what the Word of God says, when you know what the Word says and mean and you ignore the Word but uphold what man says,
mm-hmm.
you're building on your foundation. That's not gold, that's not silver, and it's not precious stone. You see what I mean?
Right.
You're not building on that. Those are materials that will not stand the test of fire because you're submitted. Your loyalty is not to God through Christ. Your loyalty is through a church or through an organization or through leaders. Y'all understand? You love people, what have you, but you got to learn how to put people in their place, and you got to, if they're wrong, you got to stand on the word of God. When it comes to standing on the word or just supporting people because you don't want to be look wrong in the eyes of men, you got to stand on the word regardless what man may think of you. All submission ends if the word of God is violated. If it's not, if they're not standing on the word of God and they manipulate the word of God to mean something that it doesn't, you and I are supposed to study to show ourselves approved. We are without excuse because you and I have the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you into all truths. He'll let you know when some doctrine ain't right.
Yeah, amen.
You don't have to have all this great and grand education. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. It's greater than any institution. He's greater than any institution.
Amen.
He teaches us. So understand how you build on this foundation. If you came in the right way, and all of this is a big if you came in the right way, because today's church teaching people, and they're not coming in based upon faith in the cross. They're coming in thinking because I've quoted or said some words, but their hearts have not changed, you see? They're coming in just because they repeated what the preacher said. Just because you went to an altar don't mean that your heart has been submitted to God and his way. You see?
Amen.
So if you come in on the right foundation, meaning that you realize that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, that sin separated you from God the Father because you were born into sin, and you're not a sinner because of what you do, but because of being born in sin, because you were born. See, we're sinners because we were born. Because Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and it produced, every child that was born out of her womb produced a bent towards wrongdoing. When you realize that you're a sinner, not because of how good you are, or you're in need of it, when you realize you're in need of a savior, regardless of how good you are or how bad you've been, the right foundation is that faith comes by hearing, and I need to hear a gospel that will tell me I'm a sinner that stands in need of a Savior daily. See? That if I don't accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that hell awaits me. That as I live this life separated from God, that God is begging me daily, come, while it's today. But if I happen to die in sin, I'll be lifting my eyes in an eternal hell. See, we got to tell people that. They need to know.
Amen.
Because one day they'll remember, I was there at that church and nobody explained to me the reality of hell.
That's right.
See, they'll remember, I was the preacher's right-hand man, but they never explained to me how serious salvation was. You see? So this is why you and I have to be crucified, because we cannot be concerned. We're the temple. We're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. God, the Father, God is the Godhead, and Christ, they're the Godhead. But God, the Holy Spirit, is here in me on earth. And as I walk this earth, I'm to be the light. I'm to be. We have so much power. I was reading Ezekiel 22, and y'all have to understand how much God, he worked through Israel. And before I get to Ezekiel, he said in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. And I remember when God presented that scripture to me. At the time, I didn't know the full understanding, and I don't know it now, but I'm learning to know and understand line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But I'm realizing, he said, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone whose heart is made perfect towards him, to show himself strong on their behalf. God is actively looking for someone who's saying, I'm willing to decrease.
Yeah.
If God is going to show himself strong, he said, when we're weak, then he's strong. There's not too many people, especially Christians, that are weak, that are realizing that they need a Savior, that are willing to die to themselves so that the will of God can be accomplished here on earth. So this is why Christ would say, pray for laborers. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, because even though many are coming to Christ, not many are being developed and changed by Christ. Y'all see?
Amen,
Many of us are trying to work for God and get God to give us what we want, instead of letting the will of God be accomplished in our own lives so that we can be the light of the world. So back to Ezekiel 22, and looking at that, God was telling Israel how he was going to strip them of their title of being called his people, well, to evangelize the world. He was going to take that, put them in spiritual time out because they had embraced idols and they became like the world instead of influencing the world. And he said, I looked to see, he was talking about in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, if there were any intercessors, if there were any righteous among them. And he couldn't find any. For he said, had there been some righteous saints there, in which there were some, and there were, he was using Jeremiah and he was using Ezekiel to try to win these people and turn them back to the truth and tell them the truth, because they were listening to false preachers that told them, the nation's not going to be destroyed. God's going to bring peace, prosperity. So they had false preachers, and same way we have them today.
Yeah.
Same thing is going on now that went on back then.
Amen.
You and I need people with the mind of God to tell us what direction, so we can know what to do while we're here in this earth. We need people. We God called for intercessors to pray for the hearts of men and women all over. God called Jonah to pray for Nineveh. What did Jonah do? Most of us got Jonah spirit. They want Nineveh to be destroyed. Why? Because Nineveh was an adversary to Israel, and Jonah got caught up politically and was like, they defeated us, they're against us, destroy them, Lord. And how many of us have that spirit?
Amen.
We have to pray that God said, no, I want you to go and preach peace and tell them their sins so that they can turn back. See, this is being a light in the world of darkness.
Amen.
See, we have to be converted in our thinking. And this is why we said that last week. The only way to truly be renewed is to be changed, is to be renewed in our mind.
Amen.
We have to let God destroy. Some of us, we don't think that we have wrong thinking, wrong mindset, but we have so much in us that's contrary to the way of God. Remember, he said, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts.
Amen.
So this process, and when we'll go back down, he says, go back down to verse 16 and 17, 17, it says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. It says, to fail to function in God's prescribed order, the cross, it opens the believer up to Satan, which will ultimately result in destruction. Talking about destruction of this temple. Remember when Christ went in and into the temple and he saw what they were doing? And he brooded over all this stuff. They were supposed to be there to help win and woo the Gentiles back to God, but they pushed the Gentiles out. They turned their nose up. They made themselves to be more than what they were. And instead of compelling people, they were repelling them.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? We're doing the same thing.
Yeah. Amen.
So God was like, y'all don't want to listen to me. Y'all don't want to do what I've called you to do. Y'all don't want my ways. You just want my hand, but you don't want my ways. You see?
Mm-hmm.
It says, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So if God is holy, Christ is holy, Holy Spirit, he's the Holy Spirit, then he wants to make us holy.
Holy, yeah.
Amen. It says, we are holy by virtue of being in Christ. So when I'm in Christ, we remain holy by the work of the Holy Spirit, who demands that our faith be in the cross. So this is how the Godhead looks at us. In actuality, God declares us holy. But the reality is the Holy Spirit has to make us holy. You see? We are declared holy because of what Christ has done. But the work of the Spirit comes to make it a reality. And this is why he said, you shall know truth. We are sanctified by truth. Truth is what changes us, is what delivers us. Truth is a person, Jesus Christ and him crucified. So the only way, if you're in a church and they're not teaching you the message of the cross, then you cannot be made free by truth. See? So the truth you come to know, see, what you come as you come to know Christ in the cross and understand the process, see, that's why we're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we grow in grace, the Holy Spirit is imparting into you a knowledge and an understanding, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. You're not going to get it all at one time. It's as we walk in obedience, then, wheresoever the soles of your feet trod, then God has given or tread, God has given you that land. The land is your heart. Wherever you walk by obedience and faith in the cross, Peter said, Lord, while he was on the ship, he looked to Christ, bid me come. As he walked, as he looked to Christ, faith in the cross of Christ, truth, caused him to walk on the water of God's word, the power of the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit sees your faith in the cross, you will walk on the water of God's word. That makes sense? But as long as you look away and allow the world's situations and the chaos of this world and the waves of life to distract you, then you start drowning in it. Y'all understand?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So it says, I'm going to read this statement. It says, during the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the Lord was dealing greatly so with Judah through these prophets, with Jeremiah being in Judah proper and Ezekiel in Babylonia. Regrettably, Judah would not heed and went to her doom. So the Lord showed Ezekiel the terrible abominations of Judah which were taking place at that time, and he pictured them as happening in the temple. Even though it spoke of the entirety of Judah, the temple was where the Lord dwelt between the mercy seat and the cherubim. Therefore, it was at the temple where Ezekiel was taken in a vision. Now, y'all can read Ezekiel chapter 8 and chapter 11 to see this because we don't have time to get into it, but I want to read these notes. It says, in the 11th chapter of this prophet's book, the Lord showed Ezekiel the Holy Spirit leaving the temple. It says, quote, then did the cherubims lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the Lord of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. That's Ezekiel 11:22-23. So it says, this was a vision of the Holy Spirit leaving out of the Holy of Holies of the temple because he was no longer desired.
Amen.
Y'all see that? So the Holy Spirit can leave out of a temple, whether a material temple of old or present believers, speaking of their body, soul, and spirit. He does so if he is not wanted. Let's go to Matthew 22. I think I got the scriptures right. So if God, the Holy Spirit, is not wanted, and you're not supposed to be consecrated, separating ourselves from the ways of the world, what we hear, what we watch, where we go, y'all understand? We're supposed to allow God, the Holy Spirit, the latitude to work in us. So he's going to be telling us, commanding us things to do, things not to do. But
mm-hmm.
if I go against the wishes of the Holy Spirit, see, what you hear and what you see constantly, you and I, we're actually feeding our spirit. And so whatever you're feeding it, it's going to appeal either to the flesh or to the spirit man, or the Holy Spirit. Y'all understand?
Yeah.
Whoever it dominates you at that time, because you can be a Christian but carnal, and if your mindset is set on carnal things, earthly things, y'all understand, then you'll find the more you stay in your word, the more that your belief system is changing to the cross of Christ, you'll start separating from the things that are contrary to the cross. The things of the world, Paul said, I'm crucified to the world and it unto me. I'm crucified to it and it's crucified unto me. Meaning that the world and what it's doing has no appeal to me.
Yes.
And as we grow in the cross and as our temple is being, the Holy Spirit invades it, you'll find that the things that used to appeal to you, the ways of the world, you don't care for it anymore.
Amen.
You don't care to hear. I don't care to hear what most of the mainstream media news has to say, because it's fashioned to a certain standard. It's not based upon facts. It's based upon its own narrative to keep people in darkness. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So listening to the Holy Spirit, he will lead you into there's all kind of sources with truth out there, but many of us don't get to see it or know it because the world system dominates, put it that way. It controls the media, the TV, and all these things. So what it does is bombard us with, y'all see, it bombards us with what's controlling the system. So if we're in the world but not of it, and let's say we got the internet, well, there's all kind of information out there, but you need something to filter through that stuff and get you truth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's all kind of preaching out there. Y'all hear me? If we really sat down and understood and see how there's an agenda that's corrupted the mainstream religions and preaching and mega churches of today, and it persuades the little ministries, and so the doctrines that come out of it is purposely being corrupted from the head up, from the top organizations on down. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And as we're open and changed and dead to self, the Holy Spirit will lead you to truth, and it may be something that's not popular to the world.
Amen.
Y'all understand? So he does that in every area and aspect of our lives and living. So in Matthew 22, and I think it's 37, let's go there. Let me see. Let me make sure I'm on the right track. Yes, ma'am.
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
I'm sorry. Let's go up a little bit. I know. I'm sorry for interrupting. Let's go up to verse 34.
Okay. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two...
Go ahead and finish that. I'm sorry.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
All right. So we see here they were trying to trip him up. But notice he says that the great commandments of the law was you shall love the Lord your God. Now, the Ten Commandments have been summed up to these two. Why? Because all of the commandments were wrapped up in these two.
Mm-hmm.
If you love the Lord with all your heart, see, by being the temple, he comes in, the Holy Spirit, to invade your heart and your soul and your mind.
Amen.
So if the Holy Spirit invades those areas and I submit, see, there's areas in my heart, there's areas in my soul, there's areas in my mind that has to be affected by the cross, that has to be affected by the Holy Spirit. So only when I place my faith in the cross, only when Peter placed his faith in the cross, was his heart, mind, and soul affected to cause him to walk. See,
mm-hmm.
this is why many people cannot walk, because one, if the fallow ground hadn't been broken up within the heart, and if the soulish man is controlling them, and the mindset has not been changed, the belief system is wrong, previous teachings, wrong doctrines. Y'all see what I'm saying? Powers of darkness controlling the mind, then guess what? You can't walk by faith. And we wonder, well, why I can't trust, and Lord, what the problem is? It's because we have not submitted to the cross. And because if you're submitted to the cross, then the Holy Spirit gives you the power. And if you trust in the cross, belief is the action part of faith. Your confidence is in the cross. Peter had enough faith to get up and walk and trust Christ. And walked on the word of the water of God's word, and he stayed up.
Amen.
It's only when we shift our focus that we sink. You see? So what is Satan after? He's after your faith, your object of faith. This is why he promotes religious church, organized church. This is why he promotes leaders. And see, a lot of people think because they're behind a pulpit and things are successful and going according to their way that God has called them. No, Satan has anointed you.
Amen.
Satan will anoint you to do and to be liked by the masses and to get some things accomplished so that you can do his will, which is to lead the blind, and they all fall in the ditch. Why? Because he don't want you to come to the point where you love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and then which will in essence cause you to love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
You put up with one another's fault. You forbear one another's fault. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he says all the commandments, they hang on these two. It says these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen.
And it includes the New Testament as well. So this is why, it's because the Holy Spirit is in us for a purpose. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm just trying to show us why the Holy God, the Holy Spirit, if we're the temple, why he's not allowed to penetrate.
Amen.
There's some things that's coming against us. The greatest fight and struggle that the believer has is the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Amen.
Those things constantly bombard us. But we got to learn that we're not in a fleshly fight. That our minds must be stayed on Jesus.
Yes.
That we are not seated in, we're seated in heavenly places. That although we're in this world, we're not of it.
Amen.
So we'll start at chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse 1.
Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am based among you, but being absent, and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh.
Okay, now before you go there, Paul, it says Paul's enemies thought this way because they function in the flesh themselves, which means they didn't have the power of God. So they were, when Paul said, he said, I appeal to you on the basis of love. I appeal to you on the basis of love. And it says in the notes, probably presents the apostle using the actual taunts of his adversary when he says, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. So Paul had adversaries. See, they were trying to demean his title and position as an apostle, and kind of like, y'all don't need to listen, Paul. He ain't walk with Christ. He called himself an apostle. Oh, no. So he's like, no, listen, I'm not living my life according to those that walk according to the flesh. I'm walking according to the power of God showing up, not me having to be in the flesh and dictate to you, but what you see is a demonstration of God's power, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes into verse 3 and keep going.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds.
So, in other words, they were taunting Paul, and they were all in the flesh and wanting Paul. Just same way that when Christ was on the cross, they taunted him. They mocked him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It was an effort of Satan through these carnal people who some of them, weren't even saved. So if you're not saved or if you're carnal, you give Satan an avenue to work through you. So God, the Holy Spirit, can work through you in the earth, or Satan can work through you in the earth. There's one or two places you can be. You can be used of God or used of Satan, okay? We saw that Peter, although walked with Christ, follower with Christ, Satan, because he had the wrong mindset, he hadn't let God penetrate his thinking in the area of Christ going to the cross. He wanted his will, so he wasn't nailed. And so Satan had an avenue, and he used him. He says, oh, you're not going to the cross. No, far be it. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's important, the teaching you sit under. If you're not being taught, all they're doing is producing carnal Christians,
mm-hmm.
carnal saints. And then you can be in church, around things that seem spiritual, but you're not spiritual. And that's carnality. So he's saying here, the efforts of these leaders taunting him in the flesh, when Christ was on the cross, they said, come down from the cross. If you be the Son of God, come down, or since you are the Son of God, come down. Physician, heal thyself. So they were waging a warfare according to the flesh. Paul said, my battle is not according to the flesh. And this is us. We get caught up in people, what they say, what they think, what they did to me. And he's saying, this is not your battle.
That's right. Amen.
You're not warring after the flesh. You're not concerned about what people think of you. You got a work that's in you. The Holy Spirit is trying to do this work in you, and you need to let it come to completion. You need to let it come to fruition. You need to let God, the Holy Spirit, change your mind, your thinking, because depending upon how yielded you are will determine how consecrated and holy you become. You see?
Amen. Yes, yes.
So however yielded I am, that determines the work, the progress of the work taking place in my heart and life, me being changed. So he says, for though we walk in the flesh, I'm living according to this, to the in a body, in the earth. I'm in the earth. I'm in this world system. It says, refers to the fact that we do not yet have glorified bodies. So I'm in the body of flesh, but we do not war after the flesh, after our own ability, but rather by the Spirit of God. So these people were trying to say, you know, they was basing upon the titles, the position, the works that they did in church, religious church. You and I have to fight against that. That's the flesh.
Yeah, amen.
That's the flesh coming and taunting you because you're not working like they're working, you know, and you're not submitted to this ministry and these leaders, then you're not called of God. You and I have
mm-hmm.
to. That's not our warfare.
Amen.
That's not our battle. They're not going to understand you, see?
Mm-hmm.
That's not our normal mode of operation.
Amen.
We've been there, done that.
Yes, yes.
Many years of it. And
yes.
When the Lord pulls you out of it, you can't go back trying to, well, let me prove that I'm called. Well, let me show
yes.
I got a title. See? They don't. Mm-hmm. The people, the carnal Christians, don't understand this warfare that you and I are in.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he tells us, this is the war that's coming after you, the flesh. You trying to live this Christian life according to the, that's the problem with most of organized church, trying to live this Christian life based upon the flesh.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Amen.
We're trying to live for God based upon our own human strength. This is why we get tired and burn
mm-hmm.
out and don't feel his presence and give up and throw in the towel, because we're trying to do it in our strength.
Yes, amen.
We're trying to love people in our own efforts, and they're doing all kind of stuff that we don't like, and the flesh gets agitated.
Amen.
And God is saying, you're not called to love them. You're called to submit to me and love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and let me transform you so you can love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
See?
Yes.
We got it backwards. We're trying
amen.
To love our neighbor as ourselves and have not loved the Lord with all our heart. With all our soul and all our mind. See, the church is teaching it backwards.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We think we have to do something, and this is what got so many people frustrated and trying to live for God.
Yes.
So verse 4, he tells us what our weapons are. This is how you war. This is how you fight this battle. This Christian battle, this is how you live an effective, victorious Christian life. Verse 3.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Okay, y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Our weapons are not carnal. Meaning that I'm not trying to live this life based upon man-devised weapons. I don't have to say it, get up, turn around 3 times. You got people thinking, talking about put on the whole armor of God. They say put on your army clothes, so they go dress in army fatigues and put on their war paint and say, I'm stomping the devil head. That does not work. That's not your weapon of warfare.
Amen.
That's carnality. That's man devised.
Yes.
I don't care how hard and how much you shout at Satan. I've seen people say, oh, I'm shouting, I'm stomping on his head. That will not work for Satan. He laughs at that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Going out and see, the enemy has pushed and infiltrated. If you read about the agenda, Karl Marx, way back when, he said he gave himself up to Satan. And Aleister Crowley gave themselves up to Satan, and he produced a doctrine or a way to infiltrate mankind and humanity. So he proposed, they call it Marxism, he proposed coming up with some kind of thing that would cause the destruction of humanity. So where God had devised human government to put away or put down evil, he did the opposite. He promoted evil and immoral acts and things. This is where all this homosexual agenda, these laws that's been changed to support wrongdoing, gay marriage, and all this wrong, evil stuff that we're immoral things that we're doing in the world. These laws that's been pushed. It came from Karl Marx. He said himself, he gave himself up to Satan. So Satan used him, and through the years, different men were being used to do and hinder the work of God. So if God created a nation, in other words, to be used to promote and push the gospel, he had followers working in opposition to what God created. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? It was Karl Marx, a man, but guess who was using him?
Satan.
Right. So the same way that the enemy used people to promote evil in the earth, God is using his church, his body in the earth, to be a light in darkness and to compel men to come out of darkness. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, but the weapons of our warfare, we're not using the weapons that Karl Marx them use. They use violence, all this stuff that created mass murder and stuff. It came from his doctrine. Came from from Marxism and all this stuff. But God is not using weapons devised by man.
Right. Amen.
God's weapon declares or is mighty, that is mighty, but it's through God's way, and that God's way is the cross. And the way the cross becomes mighty is because it puts me out of the way. It nails my passions and my lust and my strength and my ability to try to do things and for God, but according to my own standards. It nails me so that the power of the Spirit can come forth. It puts me out of the way.
Yes, amen.
So he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Meaning when your faith is in the cross, the Holy Spirit has the latitude now to do what?
Pulling down the stronghold.
Y'all see that? We got some strongholds in our lives. And our lives, these strongholds are mental. These strongholds are mighty. These strongholds stop us. Some of us got superstition. We got all kinds of stuff that get in the way from us making progress in our Christian life. Don't we?
Yes.
And so if these philosophical strongholds aren't turned cast down, torn down, then we would never accomplish what God called us to accomplish here on earth.
Amen.
So this is why it's important to let the work of the cross take place in our life. And we're going to keep going because for the sake of time. So he tells us in verse 4. He says, for the pulling down of strongholds, and what else? Verse 5?
Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Okay. So when it says, when our weapons of warfare, it says they're mighty through God. In the Greek, it says mighty to God. That is, mighty before God, not humanly, but divinely powerful. So the power is not ours, but it's God's. And God, the only way that God works in his power is through the Holy Spirit. He exhibits his power through the Holy Spirit when faith is in the right place.
Amen.
The word pulling down in the Greek is the same as in 2 Corinthians 5, casting down. The two are, it means the same. So when Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1:10, he told them he was going to give them a word. And he said, this word will cause them to throw down, to uproot, to destroy, to cast down, so that God could plant and build the right way. See? So the word that Jeremiah brought forth, it was a hard word, but it was to cast down these wrong thoughts, these wrong strongholds, these ways that were contrary to God's way.
Amen.
See, we need you need a preacher. You need a word. See, he told Isaiah and them to preach. Preach till their ears become fat and their ears become dull of hearing and their hearts become fat. Meaning they don't want to hear it. They're tired of hearing it. The reason why they were tired of hearing it was because it was contrary to what they believed. You know how we are. If it's something that we don't believe, we got our own mindset about it, and I don't care how much people show you and present the facts and the truth, you don't want to hear it because it makes your ears dull of hearing and your heart fat. And he said, seeing they see, they see it, they hear it, but they won't come to me so that I can convert them. Why? Because their heart has not been changed. It has not. They have not allowed the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to work in them to receive truth, regardless of how you feel, regardless of whether you agree with it or not. You and I are supposed to allow the truth of God's word to change us. That's the whole purpose of being saved. And so he said, keep preaching, Jeremiah, Isaiah, keep preaching, because eventually if they receive it, some of them are going to receive it. And I want it to throw down, to cast down, to pull down all these strongholds. That's why it says the preaching of the cross is to them that are saved the power of God. This power is needed to pull these philosophical strongholds down.
Amen.
So it says stronghold is namely in which sinners entrench themselves against reproof. Y'all see? It means that we, when the truth and facts come up, we entrench and hide. We reproof ourselves from the truth. It says, all that oppose itself to Christ, the learning and eloquence and philosophical subtleties of which the Corinthians prided themselves. So it says here that God wants to overthrow. He wants to overthrow the walls of Jericho, right? So Joshua's trumpet blast was mighty under God to overthrow the walls. See, there was walls, philosophical walls. There were walls there, but it took the blast of a trumpet, but with God behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see? So it takes you and I preaching and standing on the truth of God's word when our faith is in the cross. And the power of God behind it, guess what it'll do? Tear down, throw down,
amen.
Cast down, uproot, destroy. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So that God can build the right foundation and plant.
Yes.
Now we're gonna finish this one out, and then we'll close, because we're gonna have to close. Our time is up. So let me go back to the scripture right quick. And it says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So remember, there is we entrench ourselves against reproof. Reproof is just simply correction. So preaching is correction.
Mm-hmm.
When God had the watchman on the wall, his job is to look out and make sure that we're not going against the way of God. And whatever's coming in that's contrary to God, he's there to warn, to reprove, to correct. Y'all see?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. So on that note, we're going to have to close. We'll pick up with this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 6, next week. We're still the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So those on the line, we want to ask that you continue to hold on, and we'll take questions and comments. But for those listening, we thank you for tuning in tonight. We pray that some things were said to strengthen you in your walk, and that you realize we're not being critical, but we're just here to correct. And that's a part of preaching the gospel, is to reprove, is to correct, and is to rebuke, so that we can go on and be what God called us to be. Amen.
Amen.
So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.